When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do you say? Little Game Time Decisions here on a Tuesday. Kevin Walsh with you live on Sports Grid. 2 hours to make it happen here on what we need to probably be honest about. One of the final times this show will begin with Major League Baseball. Dion and the boys take the field Thursday. What do you want? Weekend Game Time Decisions. We had our fun. We loved it. We appreciate you showing up each and every Saturday and Sunday morning. College football today has you this weekend. Pro football today back on the docket. Week one. A lot of great games. Sunday night football. A little postseason rematch. Rams-Lions. Can the Cowboys make it happen in Cleveland? Browns energy. Not great. We'll get there. Baseball still wants to shine a little. We'll see. Like when the MLB playoffs are set, do they get the lead? We'll find out. On Thursday, we'll be a week away from Chiefs-Ravens. Listen, I'm part of the problem. I'm a little excited for the football. I won't lie to you. But I'm excited for today's baseball slate. 8 picks. I had to show up. And if this was a Dinger Tuesday, we'd have 6 guys on the board. We have 6 player props. We'll get there in time. Let's start with the biggest game on this slate. It's Guardians-Royals. The Guardians are booked as a minus 162 favorite. Total is a 9. But the Kansas City Royals yesterday in a doubleheader got the job done. Salvador Perez, who, by the way, Hall of Fame? I mean, listen, I don't get into a lot of those debates, but if he continues on this trajectory, probably he's going to get himself inside the top 10. Hits, RBIs, home runs for catchers all time, World Series winner. And, of course, with the Kansas City Royals, he's been a legend. Salvi Perez is a great defensive catcher as well. Just little Salvi love here on a Tuesday. Never hurt anybody. But how about a little Royals love in the market? They've jumped the Minnesota Twins as the second favorites to win the American League Central. Yet the prize for me was the price. We're minus 120 on the Guardians, plus 230 Kansas City. The Minnesota Twins are plus 270. No Chicago White Sox price. You've got a monstrous number there on the Detroit Tigers. I imagine the only reason they didn't hang the White Sox number, because if I were a book, I would want to hang it the whole way, just to see if anybody will waste $1.50, truly, which you should not do. You really shouldn't. But if they give you $1 million to 1, like, people will probably put the 1 down. Now, they are eliminated. They're 44 back of the Guardians. Remember these odds, though, as we go into the standings, because the Royals, if they do win tonight, will have pulled even with Cleveland. These teams have 5 remaining games against one another. And you will see that the Royals are home for 3 of those games. I think somewhat of the Guardians' price tonight is factoring in the double loss yesterday at home. Not going to lose again. They've been a great home team. But minus 120 on the Guardians, when a loss tonight, I don't even know if they would be favorites tomorrow. I really don't. It's a fascinating spot. And it's a big part of the American League race that is going on because, well, we're locking in, rightfully so, on Cleveland KC. The Twins are right there, too, back in the loss column of these Guardians, right? I am involved with this game tonight. I'm on Bobby Witt to record a run, minus 125, 113 runs on the season for Bobby Witt Jr., and he's got a great matchup tonight because every matchup for Bobby Witt is great. This guy's batting nearly 350 from both sides of the dish. I believe it's 350 against lefties, 346 against righties. He's got a righty going tonight. It doesn't matter. Bobby Witt's been unstoppable. You know I don't like to get involved in those 2.5 hit-run RBI markets too much, so I'm playing Bobby Witt for a run. He would be a Dinger Tuesday pick if they didn't take away the best promo in sports. What a shame that is. All right, let's go a little interleague play here. The Philadelphia Phillies look to match up with the Houston Astros here. Total 9. Phils are a favorite. Aaron Nola going up against Justin Verlander. Saw a tweet today. Man, sometimes you reminisce on old baseball, and that really is where baseball's at its best. 2007, I believe, last time Justin Verlander pitched in Philadelphia. Shane Victorino in the lineup. Woo! Maglio Ordonez. Now we're talking. 07 baseball feels like my prime. I wonder if in 15 years I'll look back favorably. And remember when Kyle Schwarber was batting leadoff. I will not look back favorably on anything inside this Astros lineup. Maybe Yordan Alvarez if I'm in a great mood. But that's just the way things are with the Astros. Couldn't find a great edge in this game here. Total 9. Didn't see an obvious bounce back or sell spot against either one of these pitchers. If you made me play it since it's such a big game, I would lean under on this 9 here with Nola and Verlander going, but it's going to be a great game, no doubt. I am involved in Minnesota Atlanta. We've been talking about the Twins, and you see this minus 110 money line. Look, of course, shop around, try and get the best of your number. Now I was able to get a little bit better number on Minnesota. I like their money line here, minus 106. Let's get a quick pick on the board. Simeon Woods Richardson gets the ball in a matchup against Schwellenbach. And for me, I think that's advantage Minnesota. I think they have the better pitcher in this game. So why the number? If you think about this, yesterday, Max Fried got the ball against Bailey Ober. I know Max Fried has struggled since coming back from injury, but in terms of pedigree, he's got it over Bailey Ober. That didn't stop the Twins from being minus 130 favorites at home, a game that they lost. Minnesota's now lost 2 in a row at home. You have to go back to middle May when the Yankees swept the Minnesota Twins to find 3 straight home losses for this team. So I do not anticipate a third one here, and I think we're getting a nice number. I know the Braves have been hot. I'm glad the Braves have been hot. As somebody who's bet them to win the National League and have found myself wondering if they're going to be in the playoffs due to the way that race is picked up with the Padres and the Diamondbacks. But I think that this is a spot here to sell Atlanta a little bit. Not as good on the road as they are at home. And the Twins have been a great home team throughout this season. We go minus 106 on the Twins. He's involved in this next one here. I mentioned the Padres on the road. Numbers up to minus 146. That's your most recent number we got for you here against the St. Louis Cardinals. I played this one just a little bit earlier in the day. I would still play it at minus 146. But I'm at minus 142. Dylan Cease and the Padres tonight make the card on that money line against St. Louis here. Miles Michaelis is in a sell spot, coming off of a really, really good start. And Dylan Cease, I think, is in a bounce back spot. We haven't seen Cease be his brilliant self in about 3-4 starts. He had that weird one in Pittsburgh where he threw an inning, weather delay. Did they set him up? Maybe. I wonder if it's thrown off the rhythms a little bit for San Diego's ace here. I like this spot at minus 142. I don't think we're paying too much. I really don't. Maybe I'm not valuing home road enough, but the Padres have been so good on the road. I was not scared off by this minus 142 price. So we're in the mix here on the San Diego Padres on the road against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Mets tonight are in Arizona. So this is another wild card team in Arizona right now who are trying to hold off a team like the New York Mets. This game jumped off the page. Because earlier it was supposed to be Eduardo Rodriguez getting the ball for the Diamondbacks, which meant Mark Vientos through the roof, Starling Marte through the roof. Let's get involved with some Frankie Lindor, a lefty who cannot get righties out. Big swap. Brandon Pfaadt gets the baseball, a righty who struggles against lefties. Mets don't line up as well. Backed off this game quite a bit. Did want to keep it in my back pocket, though, if we get another Eduardo Rodriguez start here. But in this series, potentially, it'll jump off the page where the Mets' bats are really, really going to line up. Let's get eyeballs quickly here on your National League wild card race. The Diamondbacks sit atop 4 games up on the rest. The San Diego Padres right now are clear of the Atlanta Braves. You've got the Mets here. I would feel like the only real true threats to the Atlanta Braves. Look, this is six games of separation between the Mets and the San Diego Padres there. The 5.5 number for the Giants on Atlanta doesn't feel like that's going to happen either. This is likely going to be a four-team race here with the Mets trying to spoil the party. They have a chance to do it with Sean Manaea tonight against Brandon Pfaadt. It's the kind of game that they need. Let's quickly just mention a big-time matchup in L.A. Jack Flaherty gets the ball against Cole Irvin. Dodgers, Orioles. We'll break that down and the rest of the baseball slate next on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's make it happen. We're live. It's Sports Grid. It's game time decisions. And we are in the mix with you, man, on a Tuesday night. And as I said, it is a full baseball slate. And for me, a full baseball card. It's actually a little frustrating. I have 8 picks tonight, 6 player props. If you are still betting home runs and you showed up here on a regular basis on Tuesdays looking for homers, you know, this is these are guys you can still take that I would be taking if I had Dinger Tuesday. Last Tuesday, which was the first time we lost the promo, I still played my guys and I didn't get any of them home. Now they would have done well on hit run RBI, but I didn't want to pay what was ultimately some expensive numbers. Today we've had to do some dancing around because there are some superstars that really lined up for me here today, including both of the top two choices to win American League MVP. And maybe, let me see actually here, is this this other? Oh, it's off the board, rightfully so. Maybe we'll get to that in a minute because there is a chasing history tab. Aaron Judge is, by the way, minus 110 to break the American League record and hit 63 home runs, if anybody wants to know how that's going right now. Let's start with Aaron Judge. I'm on Aaron Judge tonight for an RBI. This was minus 115. Aaron Judge hit a home run tonight is going to be a super, super popular bet. It should be. I know many people who I respect, right? Tom Vecchio. He doesn't like to bet his home runs unless he's getting a certain number. And I don't blame him one bit, especially if you're betting home run nights, home run bets every single night, because you're sacrificing your win-loss record for unit. That's one of those where you have to be, you know, really, really, you should always be tracking the units, but that's where it matters, right? You know, they say you want to be able to hit at least above 55%, you know, 60%, you're amazing. You're betting home run props at 4-1 or better every night. That changes what you need to do in order to be good in that market. Betting Aaron Judge, who I know on some books was plus 105 for a home run, is something many will hand wave. He is, at the moment, let me see if I can find the most up-to-date Aaron Judge home run number, just to give people an idea where this is. Why is it locked on FanDuel? That's odd. Plus 145, right? Which is a super, super short number. But for me, I'm willing to take that RBI because Patrick Corbin's going in this game. And it's kind of wild that Patrick Corbin is still getting reps at the major league level. His ERA has been above a 5 for now the 4th consecutive season, all in Washington. Like, the Nationals just won't. They're just kind of fine to let Corbin go out there on a regular basis. He's a good innings eater. At some point, this team's going to want to compete. You know, we talked yesterday about Dylan Cruz coming up, James Wood, C.J. Abrams. And at some point, they're going to have to get rid of Patrick Corbin. But instead, they let him go out there, and he just cannot get righties out. 451 at-bats against. He allows a .322 batting average and 18 home runs. Aaron Judge this year is sneaky, actually better against righties. He's still, of course, dominant against lefties. But I'm playing at RBI at minus 115 when the home run's going to cash it anyway. But if this goes Glaber, who's been great at getting on base in the first inning over the last 5-6 games, Glaber base knock, Soto walks. All right, well, now you're a Judge double away from cashing it. Again, he'll probably just hit a 3-run home run in that bat. I have no issue if anybody goes out there and just bets Aaron Judge home run first at bat, and that's just what they call it tonight. you probably got a good one on your hands. I mentioned in the open, I'm on Bobby Witt Jr. tonight here for a run scored. Batting in the two spot there, I'd rather play Bobby for the run scored than the RBI. Gavin Williams with those reverse splits this season, struggling a little bit more against righties despite being a righty. And Bobby Witt's batting average is just spectacular either side. And he could very well hit a home run here. Bobby Witt Jr. Has actually been... Bobby Witt batting 350 is incredible. But the stunning thing about Bobby Witt, it's kind of the opposite of Judge, right? Is that this season, he's top 15 in home runs, and he's nearly top 5 in RBI. That's what's taken that Bobby Witt stuff completely up to another level. I mentioned I could be betting on the guy who would maybe be third. That's Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Now, maybe Gunnar Henderson, Juan Soto, but Vladdy Jr.'s numbers this season are just absolutely fantastic. He is by far and away the best hitter on this Toronto Blue Jays team. And he bats 320 against either side he's going up against, and he's going up against a righty tonight in Cooper Criswell, a righty who struggles against right-handed bats. Big-time total tonight in Boston. That thing is almost approaching a 10 here. So I think Vladdy Jr. checks in tonight for an RBI. We have that at plus 125 for the people on the card. Or excuse me, at plus 120 for that Vladdy Jr. RBI. I'm on Kerry Carpenter over the 1.5 hit run RBI. We are going to have a little bit of weather tonight in this game, it appears. So we'll see if it gets off the ground. Was supposed to be a 640 first pitch. But Kerry Carpenter this season... He's a lefty. 21 at-bats against lefties. He has one hit. Luckily, he's going against Johnny Cueto, who is a righty. Cueto, only the one start for the LA Angels this season, and it's his only start at the major league level. But it was rough. He's 38. There's a reason that Johnny Cueto's not sticking around right now. So I'm willing to fade Cueto, who in that first, from what we've seen from him, kind of, you know, beaten up, really. And I just think that Kerry Carpenter at minus 135, who's been smashing right-handed pitching, was a nice enough number there to fade Cueto. And our two more player props here. One more star for you. That's Julio Rodriguez, who actually checks in tonight with that minus 125 number, going up against Jeffrey Springs, a lefty who just cannot get righties out. Look, you guys know I love a good reverse split. Sometimes it's true and it's obvious. This season, a .338 batting average allowed to opposing righties. Yikes. J-Rod's the best right-handed bat still in this lineup here for me. I know people will look Cal Raleigh's direction. His batting average is disgusting. I know there's pop. I don't care. I'm not getting involved with Cal Raleigh. You guys know I use batting average kind of as a starting point. The last one. Judge, Bobby Witt, Vladdy Jr., Julio Rodriguez, little drop-off Kerry Carpenter, and a big old bag of who? In Jonah Bride, plus 160 for that RBI. Jonah Bride this season batting .284 against righties, playing at Coors Field here tonight, and goes up against Cal Quantrill, who struggled against right-handers, right-handed batters, at plus 160, batting fourth Coors Field. Good spot here. Like, get Jonah Bride on your card. We're locked and loaded. Tuesday night's Major League Baseball board. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we are live right here on Sports Grid, and it is a Tuesday night. We've gone through the baseball board, the WNBA tonight with just the one game, and that one belongs to the Vegas Aces and the Dallas Wings. I didn't find anything I necessarily loved in this one. A 9.5-point line there for Vegas, big-time total, .81.5. I do wonder if you almost just say forget the price and bet Aja over the number, because she is coming off of a, I mean, truly, for her, horrific game. Just the second time this season that she's gone out there and shot it at under 30% from the field. And the first time that happened was, oddly, against the Washington Mystics. And Aja followed that up with 28 points on 59% shooting against the Indiana Fever. Tonight's prop is 27.5, so you would be clear of that. But Aja's scoring, it is something we've talked a little bit about with Coach. And Coach talks a lot about the shooting issues that Vegas has had. And he wonders if those bounce back, will they be fine? The counter that I've offered, though, is even if the shooting gets somewhat better, if Aja Wilson's season goes from the best season we've ever seen to just the best player in the league, can this team handle that? And since the All-Star break, Aja Wilson has not been having the season that she was having before. She's still been absolutely wonderful. She scored 20-plus points in 4 of the 5 games. She's had 3 double-doubles. She's had 2-plus blocks in 3 of the 5 games. She's had multiple steals in 4 of the 5 games. I am not telling you that Aja has been bad. I just don't know if this underachieving Aces team can even present as a real threat without Aja being legendary. Because that's what the season is going to end up as probably one of the best seasons, single seasons we've ever seen, right? For Aja Wilson. In totality. But if the level of play drops off to where, you know, entering into this season, right? You said Aja's the best player in the world. Not many people would push back. But I think Breonna Stewart would be, you would have to put as a close second, right? If Aja created that level of separation, that comes back, man. I worry about this Aces team. And you guys know I love a buy low. This team is +310 to win a title. Think about the Vegas Aces numbers that we've seen in years past. The same women are out there. A team that sent 4 players to Team USA with Aja, Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young, and Chelsea Gray. So, and there is some interest for me in their number. I won't play any WNBA title futures on top of the Fever one that I have. Still really wish I had that Lynx one until we get a bracket. And we'll make a decision from there. But it is something that I'm going to continuously bring up to people to monitor the Aja Wilson level and these Aces results, because post All-Star break, it's been atrocious. You know, depending on when you got the number against the Sparks, this team's 0-5 ATS since post break. They've lost 3 games outright, favored in all those games. They laid 16 or 16.5. Maybe you got a 15.5 against the Sparks. And they didn't come close to covering against the Sky. So, again, that's just kind of where things sit. Now, up next, we're going to talk to our guy, Mike Blewett. We mentioned the NFL season is right around the corner. There's a lot of good stuff for Mike and I to get involved with here. And I'm excited to talk. Of all the kind of placements on the pup, I thought the Odell one today was eye-catching. And we'll get a little bit into where things are within that AFC East, the expectations, Rodgers year 2 with the Jets, Josh Allen with weaponry around him that leads to a whole lot of who, what, how. But there is also a market that appeared over on the FanDuel Sportsbook that is going to provide bettors the chance to bet on who is the best left tackle in football. Who's the best defensive tackle in football? Who is, and this will be up Mike Blewett's alley, the best kicker in football? Someone get Ben Scott Stevens on the hunt and find out who the best punter in football is. But for the first time that I can remember, there are odds to make the All-Pro team available, which is fascinating. We'll get to all of this next, right here on SportsGrid. Game time decision. Come on. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you live on SportsGrid. It's Game Time Decisions. Mike Blewett's in the mix with us. You will be catching Mike Blewett this NFL season as he did last year on In Game Live. Mike, just let people know before we kind of get wrapped up in it, the time slot that you're rocking with and the setup on Sundays.
Excited. I'll be in Studio 34 in Manhattan, Joe Ranieri in our Florida studio, 1 p.m. Eastern to 4:30 p.m. Eastern, covering In Game Live. Very heavily weighted slates earlier in the season, some 8, 9, and even 10, 1 p.m. Eastern games. So fired up to bring it to you live. It's our own little type of red zone where we're covering the games live, and we'll do the whip around and cover as many live lines as we can. As you know, from watching me in the past, I like to cover a lot of first half lines, second half lines, and in-game live is the perfect way to be able to deliver that to you.
And last year, Mike kind of took over that position with Joe Ranieri. They were doing the 4 o'clock window, rave reviews. Those guys crushed it. So they're in the saddle a little earlier this year, and those 1 o'clocks get loaded. So glad to see those guys are going to crush it. They're going to take over right the handoff from Pro Football today.
Hey, you so get to throw sure to me, buddy. In. You throw it right to
can't
me.
Can't wait. I mean, listen, people are, and Mike, no surprise here, not us. People are begging for a crossover. I mean, you've heard it, I'm sure. You've probably heard those rumblings quite a lot.
You want your guy to dip in for now, 6 minutes? I'm your guy. I'll give you six minutes of fury.
Someone's got to do it. Why not you? You mentioned Joe Ranieri down there in those South Beach studios. The Miami Dolphins today put Odell Beckham Jr. on the PUP. And this was not something that was viewed as a certainty, right? Like when Nick Chubb hit, or T.J. Hockenson hit, big names, but people weren't caught off guard. Now, Odell is not a number one or number two or maybe even a number three option for the pass attack in Miami, but he's still a absolute superstar. So it catches the eye whenever anything Odell Beckham Jr. Related comes out. And I think there were people who were excited to see Odell in Miami with Mike McDaniel playing alongside Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. When you saw this Odell news, did you have any major takeaway on what this might mean for him and Miami?
I'm not terribly surprised. We know he had a procedure during the offseason, and Tom Pelissero reported from the NFL Network, he reported that he was working hard to get back. Miami just felt a little bit more comfortable easing him into game action, and he'll have to miss the first 4 games. That's not devastating to Odell's season or Miami's chances long term. Like you said, they have a lot of different options, and Tua has delivered the ball to a lot of different receivers and backs over the course of the last couple of seasons. Last year, a fantastic season for him. Odell's going to be 32 years old. We know factually that he's had at least 2 ACL procedures, the first of which didn't really go particularly well, and then he got famously injured in the Super Bowl. We saw yet another injury last season when he was with Baltimore. So I think these are building upon one another. He isn't the biggest receiver out there, which as you age ends up being a little bit of an advantage. It's just we have to admit now, Odell has a long history of injuries. His addition to this team is the type that they are hoping will put them over the top late in the year. And with them getting an opportunity to get some home games in the heat in Miami early on in the season, I don't think Odell is a crucial loss for them in any way. They have a lot of depth on this team.
Yeah, you know, for Odell specifically, it's such a fascinating career. I mean, to say he took the league by storm is such an understatement. There are a lot of moments in sports people be like, you'll remember where you were when this happened. I'm not sure that is more true for any moment than his catch against the Dallas Cowboys. You know where you were for Super Bowls and World Series, and honestly, for the last 5 years, it was at this desk on Sports Grid bringing it to you the way you needed to be brought to you. But I know exactly where I was when Odell caught that pass, and he continued to be out of this world for those first 3 years in New York. And there is some argument to be made that Odell kept Eli going. And then he went to Cleveland. It was a mess. And I still don't know how much was his fault and how much wasn't his fault, and all of that feels odd. But what is so bizarre and so unfortunate is that he was on track, Mike, to rip off a Super Bowl MVP, maybe, in that Rams-Bengals Super Bowl. You know, guys get hurt sometimes on the way to a Super Bowl. They get the ring. And you maybe, and look, not that everyone cares. At the end of the day, you're a champ, but people weigh how much it matters. For Odell to get injured in that game the way he did, but nobody would be foolish enough to suggest that they would have won that Super Bowl without him. Caught the opening touchdown. I know it wasn't a lot, but he helped set the tone, I felt, for that game, Mike. And I just think, I know I'm kind of, you know, rehashing the Odell career, but I still maybe foolishly feel like there's some level of juice there. And I think depth at wide receiver helps, because last year they dealt with a lot of Jalen Waddle injury, and I don't know if Tyree can continue to stay this healthy. So there could be moments where they rely on an Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I mean, last year, 35 catches for 565 yards, three touchdowns. Not a ton. He started six games. He played in 14. It's safe to say that they were looking at other options. Mark Andrews had some injuries. Zay Flowers came on as a rookie. So I don't know that Odell ever really fit in there, despite the fact that Lamar was having a fantastic season. We'll see how well he can fit in as the season goes on here in Miami. I think you're right to say that Odell really did explode on the scene at a time, really, 2014, and I was on air back then talking about these types of things and how spectacular Odell was, but we were not yet at a point in 2014 where rookie wide receivers went off like that. That 2014 class exploded onto the scene, and he led the way. And it led to, over the last 10 years, I'm not saying Odell is exclusively responsible for this, but I think it made general managers realize that some GMs don't feel the need to re-up a lot of wide receivers, and they will go back into the draft in order to manage the salary cap, because there are so many polished young wide receivers coming out of intricate collegiate systems that allow them to put up numbers in their first year. They're not all winners, we know that, but there are certainly guys that come onto the scene and immediately produce. Zay Flowers was an example of that last year, and we certainly see it every year now. It's why we're seeing 5 to 6 wide receivers go in the first round every season.
One final point on Odell, and again, I'm not pretending that Odell's like still some top-level receiver. He did finish eighth in the league in yards per catch, though.
Yeah,
so it just 16. It adds something. But I'm going to take this in a different route that I didn't expect to, and then we'll kind of circle back AFC East. Marvin Harrison Jr., Mike, do you feel like those expectations are too high? Because, my gosh, are they high for what he's supposed to do year one in Arizona?
Yeah, it's a lot to put on any young player that is on a team where we're not sure exactly how this team will fare, even within their own division. I don't love expecting people to blow you away because you end up feeling disappointed, but I have very high expectations on his career for Marvin Harrison Jr. I think he's a very polished player. I think he's the most talented player in the draft. We all know why he didn't go number one, but I think he's the most talented and highest graded player for many people in this draft for a reason. And I expect that Kyler Murray and he will work well together. So I think he'll meet a lot of high expectations.
Yeah, I just, it's one of those things, you know, his season-long number is 1050 and a half. And I know the quarterbacks, you know, aren't the same, but Malik Nabers checks in at a number at 900 and a half. And it's not a monstrous gap, but being willing to put a rookie's number at over 1,000, it's a lot. It really is. And it doesn't scare you off, though, does it? The way these guys come into the league and just take over, it would almost feel like a disappointment if we didn't say Marvin's one of the 5 best wide receivers by the time the year was over.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on Sports Grid. It is Game Time Decisions. We're joined by Mike Blewett. We've got the Major League Baseball board, though, shipping off some of their earlier games right now. We've mentioned where we are involved, but if you need a little reset here, some of the earlier action, Bobby Witt for a run scored, minus 125. Aaron Judge for an RBI at minus 115. And then there's a Kerry Carpenter bet out there, minus 135 for over 1.5 hit run RBI. Or minus 125, excuse me. That game's delayed, so you could probably still get in on some Kerry Carpenter action there, looking to fade Johnny Cueto just a little bit. We're joined by Mike Blewett. We've talked a little Odell Beckham Jr. Ends up on the pup. Mike, you mentioned, though, you feel Miami is still plenty deep. And the AFC East, you look at these odds, man, plus 160, the Jets have become the favorites. And I guess that has to be camp hype, right? Josh Allen isn't injured, right? This isn't because of the Odell news, but we've heard nothing but good things about the Rodgers-Garrett Wilson connection. Heard that a year ago. So just the fact that the Jets are booked as favorites, where do you come in on that?
I think it's obviously going to be jarring for anybody that's been watching the NFL for the last decade and a half. The Jets haven't made the playoffs since 2009, so why would they be favored to win the division? But we're only left to be able to analyze what happened during the off seasons and what leads up to them. I think there's real concern about as many numbers as Miami can put up during the regular season, can they withstand the physical nature of the NFL season for the entirety of it? Are they deep enough to do that? I talked about their depth really at the receiver and back targets for Tua, but are they deep enough on the lines defensively to be able to withstand the entire season? The Bills, just on paper, Kev, look a little worse than they did a year ago. They lost some key players, some team leaders in Buffalo. And I'm not talking about Diggs. I'm talking about guys like Jordan Poyer and keeping that defense together. Matt Milano now on the IR and done for the year. So on paper, Buffalo in some ways mirrors the Cowboys from the last couple of seasons. Like, yeah, they're still talented, but are they improving year over year? The Jets addressed their major issue on offensive line. Quarterback was already addressed. They just caught a bad break last year. So on paper, it doesn't surprise me to think that people are gearing towards the Jets, that the beginning of the schedule is favorable to them and they can get off to a good start and hang on to that lead. I'm more bullish about the Jets to potentially be a real threat in the playoffs than them a 13-win season, for example.
Yeah, I think my issue with the Jets, and I'm, you know, we're you guys know how I am. We go through the process, and same way I like to wait for my lineups. We'll get there at the very end. I can't tell you definitively where I'm going to land on the AFC East. But I'd be very surprised if I came on here and told you that I love the Jets in the AFC East market. If you are betting the Jets, you have to be pushing further. You have to be. Because the idea is Rodgers is in the playoffs, right? You're not looking to have the Jets be 12-2, and that's when Rodgers gets hurt, but you've created enough of a lead, right? This is still a very competitive division. So plus 160, Rodgers stays healthy and connects, and Buffalo takes a step back. I'd rather plus 850 conference. I'd much rather play Super Bowl bets than if you are willing to get there on the Jets. And one of the things that's hard about getting there with the Jets is the Rodgers health. Sometimes we assign injury concerns to guys that are a little overestimated, right?
Yeah.
Like Matthew Stafford was like a big injury guy. Then you were like, well, he wins a Super Bowl. Then we forgot about it. Then he got injured. Everyone was like, Stafford will never be healthy. Then they make the playoffs. Everyone's back in on Stafford, right?
McCaffrey has some of those same things. You're like, don't know if McCaffrey's going to hold up again. It's like, all right, well, he's the best player in football now for 4 months.
But now, also, no one ever thinks McCaffrey's going to get hurt again. Right? Like, that's now the new idea on a McCaffrey. Rodgers is specifically different because of his age. When someone that old has an injury like that, when I say that old, I mean in athlete years, it sticks, right? And if that guy ends up getting injured again, it'll be hard to be like, I made the right bet, because it has to be a part of your handicap. Mike, there are, I heard you mention the Dallas Cowboys. If you bet the Cowboys and they go out there and they win 14 football games and then underwhelm in the playoffs, guess what? You signed up for it. That's what they've been doing now for quite some time, Mike.
Sure. Same old Cowboys. And with the Jets, it's totally fair to have concerns about Rodgers. This is not you trying to predict that someone is going to get hurt, because we don't really have the ability to do that. It's okay to have concerns about players like Rodgers, like Joe Burrow, for example, that are dealing with current injuries, and we're not really sure until we see them in the line of fire how they'll be able to hold up. is Burrow's wrist injury something that can recur the next time he gets sacked? Is Aaron Rodgers not really going to be nimble in the pocket, which is one of his elite abilities, just his ability to slip inside and out of the pocket? I'm not talking about running for first downs. I'm talking about his pocket awareness and avoiding sacks. Can he do that to the same level he's done in the past? It's a fair concern.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting. Mike, we come back. We're going to probably do some award stuff. Just quickly, with Buffalo, do you think that we're too concerned about that wide receiver room or not concerned enough?
I would say not concerned enough. You swayed some of your fears in that they have two young players in James Cook and Dalton Kincaid that I think one of them proved himself, one who started to prove himself last year. I think that will be a little bit of a bomb on the burn that the Bills fans felt by the Stephon Diggs relationship blowing up and then Gabe Davis taking off to go to greener pastures for him, potentially.
Yeah, one of those weird things where Mahomes last year still had Kelce, and we were like, wow, how could he possibly win with this four? Not have a lot at all. It's a very interesting spot. We're back with Mike Blewett next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Certainly that I've seen from a FanDuel Sportsbook right here in New Jersey. And I was excited when I saw that because now all of a sudden you have different avenues to bet these awards, right? And a wise man told me many years ago, eventually you'll stop caring so much about these. That wise man is Mike Blewett, and when I watch these things get handed out, he's probably correct because I get very frustrated very quickly when these things go the wrong direction. Like last year's NFL MVP going to Lamar Jackson. But all of a sudden we bring some all pros in and look, ultimately you expect whoever wins league MVP, assuming it's a quarterback, will make all pro. But Mike, we have odds for all pro left tackle. Trent Williams, the favorite, rightfully so. We have odds for all pro kicker. Now they've since gone. I don't know if somebody accidentally clicked the on button, but man, I got to tell you, there's some juice there. If these markets do reappear, and I believe we have them at least saved in the bank here to kind of show people what those markets look like a little bit, because I would be interested, Mike, in betting some all pros if we had it.
I implore them, bring back the all pro market. I do not care who wins the awards, Kev. The process is whatever process anybody feels like that's sitting in a chair that's voting for it. So I don't care about it anymore. However, I will bet the hell markets see that we can get an edge on it, and we often can, especially if you're tracking it throughout the year. And you want to bring some all pro markets and some kicker markets in, I'm your guy. Let's fire it up. How can I get odds on Evan McPherson to be the all pro kicker? I don't know. I just tell me what they are. I'd love to peruse it and get there. But there you go. Brandon Aubrey right at the top. Justin Tucker, Evan McPherson. So clearly those top two, Aubrey was on fire last year. He started even in preseason hitting bombs. Justin Tucker has had one of the greatest, if not the greatest, kicking career in the history of the NFL. McPherson, it's a running joke because I've often bet I've gotten on heaters with Evan McPherson because it's been proven that regardless of what a lot of analytics decisions will lead you down a path of, Zach Taylor really trusts Evan McPherson. He's not afraid to use him in key situations. So he's a guy that puts up a lot of attempts generally year over year, as the Cowboys did with Brandon Aubrey, 38 field goal attempts. Jason Myers from the Seahawks, 42 field goal attempts last year. But those top three are the guys. I don't think the Bucs will put up that many points to make Chase McLaughlin a real chance, and Jake Elliott with the Eagles a possibility if they continue to put up points in the way that they do. But McPherson would be my guy just off the lead for Brandon Aubrey.
I legitimately opened this market and immediately raced to find Will Reichard, Alabama kicker who was drafted by Minnesota. He's at 100-1, Mike. And it was one of those things like, look, I don't know if I'm really going to get involved in that capacity. But I feel like I owe it to myself and the people that week one, we're firing on some Will Reichard props. What if he's the next guy? I mean, we got to get in early then, Mike.
I'm not afraid of a best bet being a kicker field goal attempts over. I'm just not afraid of it, folks. I'm here to tell you.
Hey, Mike.
When you tune in at 1 o'clock on September 9th, is that the right day? September 8th, I will be there with a kicking over for you.
Listen, one other thing Mike Blue is not scared of is to give you a sell me something where he might actively be trying not to sell you on, and then ends it with a strong and accurate you're welcome, and it's not misleading.
I flip it in the last 10 seconds. I flip it on you in the last 10 seconds, and you hammered bet. That's the way it goes.
We will always have the Marcus Mariota interception. Shout out Marcus Mariota. Shout out Desmond Ritter. Cut. Tough scene for the Falcons. Boy, did they waste a lot of time last year. Mike, what a pleasure. I'm sure we'll be able to talk one more time before that NFL season gets underway. Enjoy some baseball tonight while we still all do.
Yeah, buddy. See you later.
All right, we've got Joe Maddon up next right here in Sports Game Time.